at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in North Glen. Deadline for reservations is April the 13th. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's 1-800-205-6245. And hug Sameach. Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and this morning we're going to be talking about the American Constitution. You know, the America I was raised in 60 years ago just doesn't exist today. Everything has changed. And why has it changed? Why, very simply, because the American people have been systematically and intentionally dumbed down. They don't understand the foundations of our freedom. From whence freedom comes, because, of course, liberty is dependent upon virtue, and virtue is dependent upon Christianity. And without a virtuous nation, you cannot have a free nation, for our nation was made for a moral and religious people, would not suffice for any other, said John Adams, and, of course, he was one of the founders of this country and the writers of our Constitution. And you could not have a free society unless, of course, you have some sort of document that limits the power of government. Otherwise, government will come and take away your money and take away your sons and daughters and send them off to fight in foreign wars, either by the draft or by offer them large sums of money, and then when they come home crippled and their lives destroyed, why, of course, everything is done to prevent them from being compensated. Government, and especially the government we have today, has nothing to do with America. America is based upon the Constitution, and most of the people in Washington, D.C., have sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution and then set out to destroy it, including the people in the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of the United States government. I am not anti-American. I'm pro-American. I just want to restore America, and this is why we have David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution on as a guest at Radio Liberty on a regular basis to remind us about what the Constitution, which is the foundation of America, is all about. It is the Constitution that sets America apart from other countries, or at least used to, when we were a moral and religious people. And with that as the background, Pastor David Whitney, thanks again for being with us.
Dr. Stan, it's always a blessing to be on your show and talk about these very important issues that that we're faced. And I ought to kind of give a caveat as we talk about some of these issues. I'm not an attorney. I'm a pastor. And so the kind of information I'm sharing really is simply a history of our country and talking about the facts of what our founding was designed to be, and not giving legal advice. I want to be sure anybody would not mistake what I'm saying. Rather, I'm working on how we ought to think about issues, that we get the mindset and the worldview of our founders. And we're going to take a little different tact, looking at the Constitution from another angle, a very important angle in terms of what we as citizens play a role in our government, and that's the function that we have as jurors. Many Americans, you know, when they receive a summons to jury duty, oh, no, how can I get out of this? I don't want to do this. I don't want to waste my time there, and so on. And I want to share that that's the opposite attitude we as patriots should have. If we love justice, if we want to see the restoration of our constitutional republic, our function as a juror can be one of the most powerful roles that we play in society. Actually, as a citizen of these United States, you have three votes. You usually only think of the one vote you have when you cast it at the ballot box in November and so on. But there's two more powerful votes than that vote you cast at the ballot box. That's your vote on a petit jury, or your vote on a grand jury. And in the course of several months here, as we talk about these issues, I want to inform and educate jurors who, because they know the Constitution, are able to defend our constitutional republic right there in the judiciary, right there in the courtroom. And, you know, the problem in American courtrooms is known by almost all Americans. They know that justice usually is not served in the courtroom, and justice, as Scripture says, has fallen in the streets. And most Americans recognize that the only thing that they can expect to happen to them in a court situation is that they will lose their shirts. They know that that's what happens, and so wise Americans are always trying to avoid ever getting tied up in this because they recognize we have a tyrannical judiciary. There's several books that use that exact phrase in their title these days, tyrannical judiciary. Many speak of them as the new imperial judiciary, the king, so to speak, of America. And so we know that there's something horribly wrong in our judicial system in America today. And some people would point to the juries and say, yeah, the juries are at fault. And there is some justification with that. We think of the famous case of Stella Liebach. You remember her. She's the one that spilled the McDonald's coffee on her own lap, burning herself and suing McDonald's. And she received a $2.9 million reward in damages from a New Mexico jury. Later on, that was reduced, and you usually don't hear those details of it. But nonetheless, that kind of stands out as people in people's minds. Yeah, look at that. A jury that's just gone completely crazy. And so people often look at that side of the jury and say, yeah, part of the problem in the courtroom is not just the judges behind the bench, not just the attorneys before the bench, but the 12 citizens there in the jury box. But the bigger issues, and even kind of that jury malfunction we see with Stella Liebach as an example, a bigger problem that we see is that we, the people, are struggling to be able to enforce our Constitution. We've talked many months about what the Constitution says, and the fact of the matter is we know that our Constitution is being violated. Every day, almost 90% of what our federal government does is a violation of the Constitution. And we don't have a system set up in our government to be an effective police force to say, oh, there's a violation of the Constitution, that guy's going to prison. There are checks and balances, there's impeachment, and of course at the ballot box we can vote out the violators of the Constitution and so on. But it's a very difficult way in which to enforce the terms of our covenant, our contract with our civil government. And I'm going to argue in the course of our times together that we the people, through the jury, have the power to enforce the Constitution in a very effective way, where even a small percentage of us, one out of 12, one person on a jury of 12, can actually see that the Constitution is enforced or that it's not violated in a particular case if they themselves know the Constitution, and secondly, they know their power and their duty as a juror. And so the title of this course, and by the way, this is a brand new course here at Institute on the Constitution. We're just filming it, and we'll be putting it together ultimately as a course that people can purchase so that they can host, just as they often are hosting our Foundations course that teaches the U.S. Constitution. This Duty of the Jury course, Defend the Constitution, will be a course available eventually for people.
We'll be back with David in just a moment here at American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Everybody with a yard probably has something buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talkie tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, want a bottle?
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon, Sheldon, wake up.
There may also be buried pipelines. And even the best-maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum.
Yeah.
Hear a hissing noise. See bubbling earth or water. vegetation that's dead or dying, or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate, and don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately and call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
Join the Beth Messiah congregation and celebrate Passover 2008 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Sunday, April the 20th, 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in North Glen. Deadline for reservations is April the 13th. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's 1-800-205-6245. And hug Sameach.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and of course, we're going to be talking today about the informed jury and the fact that the jury should interpret the law. And so almost in anticipation of what David's talking about today, I was recently called to be a juror, and of course, the judge got all the people into the room and said, now, I want to lay out certain specific issues, first of all. The law is what I will tell you the law is. You are not, to go to the law library and look up anything on your own. You are to, and whether you agree with the law or not is not important. The important thing is there anybody here in the audience who is not willing to go along with what I tell them the law says? You may disagree with the law, but of course, for the purposes of this trial, I will tell you what the law says, and whether you feel it's just or not doesn't matter. The important thing is there anybody here who cannot go along with the instructions I'm going to give you as to what the law is? And I thought to myself, this judge is frightened to death at the idea of an independent jury trying to come up with what is just and right according to our Constitution. And he's laying out the groundwork because the last thing they want is an informed jury that is going to go ahead and administer the law fairly. It will all be done from an administrative point of view, and the judge will determine the outcome of the case by simply having the jury there as simply a front for his instructions to tell them what sort of a decision they're to come up with. So with that as a background, pick up the story.
And Dr. Stan, that's exactly what most jurors hear. I mean, there are exceptions. There are judges who would not make a similar statement. But most jurors hear that, hey, you do not get to judge whether the law is just, fair, constitutional, or unconstitutional. That's not your job. Your job is just to look at the facts. In a sense, your job is to be a rubber stamp, because we know often the way the facts are presented, the evidence that's permitted to be admissible. In other words, the judge is making all the decisions, and in this course, what I hope to equip people with and what I plan to equip people with is the history going all the way back beyond even the Magna Carta in English common law that ultimately became American common law. The very foundation of our system of government puts the jury in a very powerful, prominent place to judge the law and evaluate if the law is just and legitimate, as well as to judge the facts. And so I know, because most people are going to hear that in the courtroom, they will never hear what we're teaching, and they need to have this course before they serve as a juror so that they know what that judge said is wrong. And I do not listen to a judge who violates his oath to uphold the Constitution, his oath to abide by the laws of these United States of America, including the common law. And we're going to see what our founders said very, very clearly about the powerful role and the vitally important role that the jury has to judge the law. And so today, one of the failures we have, and part of the reason why we have growing tyranny in our land, is that the jury is not stopping government tyranny. And that's one of the most significant reasons the jury is to judge the law, that they can stop government tyranny. Most Americans don't even know that the jury can and should do something about tyranny in our land today. They basically would follow what that judge says and, you know, be a rubber stamp for the court. And what this course will give you is give you our founders' understanding of law and government and therefore the crucial role that jury plays in resisting tyranny. Secondly, this will equip you not merely to serve on a jury as a protection against and a defense of our Constitution, but it will help you inform and train other jurors as well as potential jurors regarding their true job, which is to enforce the Constitution. Remember, just as a background here, that George Washington said that the indispensable supports of our form of government are religion and morality, and by religion he meant the Christian faith, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's impossible for our system of government, just as our second president said, John Adams, impossible for our Constitution to work without a moral and religious, that is, Christian, people. And with that understanding and looking at how our founders understood law and government, we know that they believed and firmly established our principles of law and government on the idea that true justice is fulfilled when God's law is obeyed. There's a statement I hope some of your listeners will be familiar with. It's this: there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. Let me read that again. And just ask yourself, where did this come from? Who said this? There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. And the author of that, of course, is James in his epistle in the Bible, the New Testament. God was the ultimate author of that statement. There's only one lawgiver, himself. God is the ultimate lawgiver. Therefore, all true law, as opposed to false law or null, law that's null and void, all true law, law that is just, is a law that comports with the Bible, the lawgiver, God himself, who is the only lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. And the founders of our country, the founders of our system of civil government, the founders of our judicial branch of government, they knew this, they believed this, they stated it very clearly, that the law which aligns precisely with the law of the one lawgiver and judge, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, is what is true law. And, of course, in the Declaration of Independence, they spoke of this as the laws of nature and nature's God. And if people are unfamiliar with that, we've talked about it before, but it's important to mention it again. All of our founders read William Blackstone, his commentaries on the laws of England, and some of them studied directly under him as his students. Basically, you could say he was their law professor. For the first 150 years of our country's history, a quotation from William Blackstone's commentaries would solve a court case. It would be the authority to which everyone turned. And William Blackstone said there was three forms of law. There was the law of nature, which was human conscience, as Romans 2, 14 and 15 speaks about God having written his law in the heart of every human being. Everyone knows, thou shalt not steal. Now, that doesn't mean they abide by it or obey it, but they know that it is wrong to steal, that personal property is a God-given right. They all know that. It's written on their hearts from birth. Even my little two-year-old, when she, some of the first words she uttered with her sister is, "It's mine." That is, that piece of toy or whatever it is, I own it. I have the right to private property. I own this property, and you can't take it from me without my permission. You can't even use it without my permission. So our founders clearly understood this and built our system of government on this foundation. God's law is supreme. God's law is the only source of true law. And, you know, I live very close to Washington, D.C., and so occasionally I get down there, and it's amazing to walk through the monuments of our country and the buildings, and everywhere you turn, you see signs of this. You go up to the Supreme Court, the same court that has said the Ten Commandments, God's law, written in his word, cannot be on the schoolhouse wall, cannot be on the courthouse wall. Down in Alabama, they took Chief Justice Roy Moore's Ten Commandments monument and removed it from the rotunda of the Supreme Court of Alabama. Everywhere you go, the Ten Commandments are under attack by this same Supreme Court. You go to that building, It's right there. It's all over the place. It's on the doors, engraved in wood. It's in.
You're talking about the Ten Commandments now.
Yes, the Ten Commandments is on the frieze on the outside, both of the front of the building and the rear of the building. And you go inside the courtroom, and I was there, I think it was last May, for a pastor's gathering, and they encouraged us to go pray around the three branches of government. And so I went to the Supreme Court with some other folks and stood there at the entrance. They wouldn't actually let you inside the courtroom proper, but there in the entrance praying, and I could look up at the frieze, and visible to all the nine justices sitting on the bench is an image of Moses carrying two tablets. And and it's just not the numbers. Sometimes the Ten Commandments are remembered. You see the Roman numerals 1 through 10. There, in that courtroom, it's engraved in Hebrew. The Hebrew words of the Ten Commandments are actually on the stone tablets that Moses is carrying, and it's visible to those nine Supreme Court justices as a statement that God's law, the Word of God, is supreme. It is the only basis of law and government. And so the lie that is circulated in our land today, that we were founded as a secular or atheistic or non-religious democracy, is a lie.
It's so interesting there at the Supreme Court, every session opens when the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how could they open their sessions every day with that and yet say we can't mention God in the classroom? Well, of course they know of the foundation of our nation. It is simply that the people in the Supreme Court are part of a conspiracy to destroy the Christian foundation of this country. And when you understand that, you begin to understand why America has changed.
Yes, but most definitely. Just think of what one of the signers of the Declaration, John Witherspoon, perhaps one of the most influential founders, because he trained, 70 of the founders, people like James Madison and so on. They went through the College of New Jersey, which has since become Princeton University. But John Witherspoon said this. He was a pastor and, the president of the college. He said the Ten Commandments, that is the Ten Commandments in the Bible, the Ten Commandments are the sum of the moral law. If you want to know what law is all about, you want to know the moral requirements for every human being, they're right there, the Ten Commandments as a whole. And so our founder said God gave us the law. Ten Commandments is a summation of it. Certainly it's more detailed than that because, for example, Jesus was asked, actually it was a trick lawyer question that was trying to trap him. You know, the lawyer asked him, which is the first commandment of all in Mark chapter 12? And Jesus answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is the sum of the law. And Jesus basically summarized the two tables of the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the first table, first four commandments, and then the next six commandments, the second table of the law, how we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, covet. All these have to do with our obligations to our fellow man. But first, our obligation is to God. Worship the one true God, not to blaspheme his name and so on, not to create an idol of him. And so throughout the history of our country, up until the more recent era, and you've talked about this with the Masons and the Supreme Court and so forth, up to this point in time in the history of our nation, there's been a great honoring and even veneration of the Ten Commandments of God's law. We are not a secular nation. We were not founded as a secular nation. Now, it might say we have become such. We were not founded as a democracy, but as a republic. And the evidence is just there, just walking around Washington, D.C. You see it all over the place. The National Archives, you come in, there's a beautiful carving on the floor, and right in the middle, the Ten Commandments. They just list the Roman numerals there. And outside the Ronald Reagan building, there's a statue of that's called Liberty and Worship, and she's reclining on a tablet. And that tablet has the ten Roman numerals on it. Again, the Ten Commandments represented all over our capital. And so we see that the Word of God gives us law. In fact, we find that the Word of God gives us the structure of our government. Many people think it was our founders that came up with the amazing idea of having three branches of government, you know, a legislative, executive, and judiciary. Well, that's a wonderful idea, but it's not where it came from. It wasn't original to them. it came from, believe it or not, the Word of God. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah 33:22, said this, "For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." And so the people of God's day, of Isaiah's day, they understood that God himself was the judge, judicial system. God himself was the lawgiver, the legislative system. And God himself was the king, the executive branch. So the three branches of government were all summarized in God himself. So our founders, based upon a good understanding of the Bible, saw that three branches of government were a safe way to put check upon human sinful tendencies. Any human being given power, unlimited power, will abuse that power. They will become corrupt and tyrannical if there's no check put on that power.
And we'll be back in just a moment with David Whitney here, American Christian Network.
Buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talky tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, want a bottle?
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon, wake up.
There may also be buried pipelines. And even the best maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum.
Yeah.
Hear a hissing noise. See bubbling earth or water. Vegetation that's dead or dying. Or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate. And don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately and call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
Stop living with pain. Discover MagnetiCare cell-activating liquid complex and RX magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting MagnetiCare liquid complex, cream, or RX magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343. How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And before we go on, David, please tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute, get a startup kit so they can begin putting on programs to teach others about our wonderful Constitution, the Constitution that has been rejected by the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of our government. Please go ahead and get out your telephone number, your web page, and how people can get in touch with you and what they can accomplish by doing that. Go ahead.
Yes, our telephone, it's a toll-free number here at Institute on the Constitution, is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number, again, for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. Or they can go to our web store, which is on our website, and purchase a host kit. And let me tell you a bit about that host kit. It gives you everything you need to conduct a class that will communicate what our founders' view of law and government is and was, and how they work that out in the founding documents, the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and giving the student a working knowledge of those. And again, you do not have to be an expert in law or history. It's probably better that you have no background in those subjects, because most people that do have an expert background in those have been lied to and successively reject what our founders clearly stated. But that host kit just enables anyone with any group of people to take them through a course that will equip them with a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and as we're going to share later in our jury course here, those are essential not only when you go to the ballot box to cast your vote for or against candidates in November, but it's very essential when you serve as a grand juror or a petit juror, because there you must apply the principles you learn about what our government's all about. And if you're going to listen to the judge and the lies that he may tell you and not be able to evaluate what he's saying because you don't have an adequate knowledge of our foundation and our founding documents, then you will not be able to do justice, and you will not be able to stop tyranny in our country. And so our website is iotconline.com. That's Institute on the Constitution is iotconline.com. And there's a link right at the very top that you click to go to purchase a host kit, and we have many other resources. A really exciting one that has just come out just this month is our God and Country Patriotic Celebration that was held this past July, and Chief Justice Roy Moore spoke, and we honored him. We actually have a replica, exact replica of that monument that was moved from the rotunda of the Supreme Court in Alabama that Chief Justice Roy Moore installed. We have an exact replica that was placed here in Maryland in remembrance of that as part of that conference. I spoke at the conference. Delegate Dwyer spoke. Michael Peruca spoke. Herb Titus, excellent constitutional attorney, spoke. David Nuza. We had a great lineup of speakers, and we have put together this four-DVD set available now for people to purchase. And they can, again, many, many rich resources available at our web store. And that's by going to our website, iotconline.com. Well, when we talk about what our founders' view of law and government was and is, and it was founded in the Bible. Very, very clearly, the laws of nature and nature's God refer to God's word, the Bible. And so the foundation of all law, all civil government, all that is just, is given to us in God's word. And what does God's word say about government? Says a great deal. Romans 13 is the passage quite often quoted and often misinterpreted to say do whatever the government tells you to do. That's never what God's word says. We see ample examples of people who disobeyed unlawful orders of the government. How did they know they were unlawful? They knew God's law. So Daniel knew that it was unlawful for the king to say, you cannot pray to any god but me. And so Daniel prayed to the true God, and they threw him in the lion's den for it. His three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew that bowing down to an idol, a government can never issue a lawful order to worship or to bow down and worship an idol. They refused. Three of them were thrown into the fiery furnace, and on the list goes. The apostles in the New Testament, arrested, thrown in prison, beaten, threatened. They said, we will obey God rather than men, because they knew the orders they were being given not to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ were a violation of God's law. So everyone needs to understand that God's law is supreme. Human government is in submission to God's law. If it is not in submission to God's law, we are not to obey that human government in those points which that government is requiring us to disobey God. Well, the clearer statement about God-ordained civil government is given to us in Romans 13. Verse 3 says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister. That is, the civil magistrate is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, here's a repetition of that phrase, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers. A third time that phrase is repeated, attending continually to this very thing. And so just a summary reading here, Romans 13 says that the civil magistrate, the civil government, is a minister of God. What's that mean? It means he has limited, delegated authority to rule justly, and justice, of course, is measured by his submission to the Word of God and the law of God. And so God's minister, the civil governor, is subject to the law of God himself. And he is subject to what he does in his role as a magistrate to do justice, to do what Romans 13 calls what is good, to reward those who do good, and to punish, even executing, killing, putting to death those who do evil, executing wrath on him who practices evil. But he does that all by the standard of what is just as defined by God's law, not by his own ideas, not by the ideas of fellow legislators, no, but by God's law, what is just. This is what the Bible clearly says, and we know that this is what our founders clearly espoused again and again throughout their writings, that they were establishing a constitutional republic, not a democracy, a constitutional republic based upon the laws of nature and nature's God given to us in the Bible and applied in the civil government by a just government. And, you know, so you say, well, how do we go off track? Well, you could say we went off track as human beings all the way back in the Garden of Eden, all the way back at the very original temptation. And that original temptation described in Genesis chapter 2 when Satan came to Eve and he questions God's law. God said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan says, you know, has God said? He questions God's law and he even challenges it and denies the truth of it. He says, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is good. For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, this was all a lie, but nonetheless, he was denying God's direct command not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And many people mistaken that for all kinds of different things. But what it really is, we see here clearly, is that when Adam and Eve were tempted, they were tempted to become godlike. They never did become godlike by doing this, but tempted to becoming godlike by determining for themselves, completely apart from the law of God, what was right and wrong. That is, God's told us what's right and wrong. We're going to ignore that. We're going to establish our own system of morals, of what is right and what is wrong, based upon our own thinking, which is in contrast to God's law.
We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitten for the last session this morning here. The American Freedom Network.
To order your cassette copy of this program, call the American Freedom Network at 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs. But we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you and is just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call American Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs in high definition also available.
More than 31 million Americans have some type of hearing problem. Only 1 in 5 will seek help. Do you frequently misunderstand conversations? Do you often ask people to repeat what they're saying? Do your ears ring? If you're the one who's always turning up the volume on the TV or the radio, maybe it's time to get a hearing evaluation by a professional, certified caring audiologist. Call Michelle at the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. That's the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688.
Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney. David, pick up the story there.
Well, going back to the Garden of Eden there, that original temptation was really to overthrow the law of God. The temptation Satan was offering to Adam and Eve is, hey, take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, overthrow the law of God, establish yourself to be like God, that is, you determine what's good and evil. And so the temptation really was to establish oneself as an independent moral authority free from the law of God, saying, I'm going to determine what's right and wrong. And boy, this should ring true for most Americans today, because you hear this purported all over the place, that we have the moral freedom to determine what's right and wrong. We don't need to listen to God's law. In fact, God's law is considered outmoded, outdated, and we just throw it out, tear it down off the schoolroom walls, tear it down off the courtroom walls, tear God's law out of every public place, because, oh, we can't have that. We want to establish ourselves as people to be the independent moral authority. Well, what happens when you do that? All kinds of evil results from it. Today, when human declares something as good that God has said is evil, it doesn't change that thing from good to evil, just as if you were to say 2 plus 2 now equals 5. You could even get a legislature together to say 2 plus 2 equals 5, and a governor or a president could sign the bill, and the Supreme Court could say, oh, yeah, this is true, this is law. That wouldn't change the law of the universe, that 2 plus 2 always equals 4. It never can be changed, and so you can never overturn the law of God. You may try to break the law of God, but you won't. You only break yourself against the law of God, just as if you say, we're going to legislate here that we can change the law of gravity. Law of gravity is no longer going to exist. So encourage those legislators to climb to the top of a 10-story building and jump off. They said the law of gravity no longer exists. They're not going to break the law of gravity. They're going to break their legs when the law of gravity does what God designed it to do. And so it is with the moral law. You can't change the law regarding marriage, although plenty of states are attempting to do that today. They're going to break themselves and destroy themselves as a society when they try to break God's law in that way. They don't break his law. It doesn't change. So what's evil remains evil, even if the label on it is changed and now it's called good, just as if you take a bottle of poison and you cover the label up and say, this is candy, doesn't change the fact that it's poison. And if some poor child gets a hold of it, it'll kill them. So it is when we attempt to relabel what is evil as good and what is good as evil. No mere human being, a puny creature created by God, attempting to spit in the face of his creator, attempting to throw God off the throne of the universe, can ever succeed at this. The creature will never succeed. Evil is still evil, even though it's repackaged in our day and dressed up as something else. And God warned those who engaged in this kind of subversion of his law. Again, the prophet Isaiah said this in Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God warned that this is a terrible, terrible thing when people relabel evil as good and change it. And that's what's taken place in our day, as the law of God has been successively rejected as the foundation of law and the foundation of what is just and right in our society. But our founders never believed that. And you don't have to go far into the reading what our founders stated to discover that they believed the opposite. They believed that God's law gave us what's good and what's evil, that God's law was the supreme authority over all of us without exception. And therefore, when they structured our government, they built the U.S. Constitution based upon a biblical view of law and a realistic view of human nature, that they got this realistic view of human nature from the Bible. First of all, that we are image bearers of God. That is, only human beings, not animals of any type at all. Only human beings are created in the image of God, and therefore only human beings have that dignity. Only human beings have rights, which is kind of odd in our day. Many people think animal rights. Well, these animals have rights and so on. They don't have any rights in contrast to human rights. Only human beings were created in the image of God. Now, that doesn't mean we should abuse animals. Scripture says that we ought to be kind to our animals. But human beings are not equivalent in terms of animals. They're above the animals as image bearers of God with dignity and rights that are unique to human beings. Secondly, of course, the realistic view that our founders constructed our form of government upon is that not only are we image bearers of God, but we are all fallen creatures. We need government because we have fallen from the glory that God created us to be. We are sinners, and we need government to rein in that sinful nature that otherwise will burst out if it's unchecked. For example, the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, "For the punishment of evildoers," here's the purpose of government, "for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." Scripture very clearly states that this is what civil government should be doing, identifying who are evildoers based upon those who are breaking God's law, violating God's commands, and punishing them appropriately. And likewise, those who do right, those who obey God's commands, praising them, encouraging them. Today we have the opposite. Our government is letting many evildoers go scot-free and punishing those who do good, those who seek to follow God's laws. Well, our founders, based upon this view and following these biblical principles, they constructed our civil government so that these unchanging, and as they said in the Declaration, these self-evident truths would be structured into our government. Consider what James Madison, who's often called the father, and I think rightly, the father of our Constitution, in Federalist Paper number 55, he wrote, "As there is a degree of depravity in mankind which requires a certain degree of circumspection." Let's just pause there for a moment. He's talking about all human beings are depraved. That is, all human beings are fallen, and this requires civil government to understand that fallen nature and to construct the government in a way to be a check against that fallen, depraved human nature. As there's a degree of depravity in mankind which requires a certain degree of circumspection and distrust, so there are other qualities in human nature which justify a certain portion of esteem and confidence. So he's talking there about the image of God, which means all human beings have dignity, all human beings have rights. He goes on to say in Federalist 55, "Republican government," that's Republican with a small r, not the political party, but Republican government that we understand, "presupposes the existence of these qualities in a higher degree than any other form."
We're out of time, David. God bless. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Join the Beth Messiah congregation and celebrate Passover 2008 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Sunday, April the 20th, 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in North Glen. Deadline for reservations is April the 13th. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's 1-800-205-6245. And hug Sameach.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Do you know how to explain the difference between a republic and a democracy? Well, if you have any question in your mind, you really need to get the little pamphlet we've written. It's only $375 plus shipping, or $395 plus shipping, and it goes into the background of the difference between a republic and a democracy. All the difference in the world, because we are a republic. We were to be a government of law, not a government of men, and unfortunately, we become a government of men. So let me recommend you the pamphlet that we put together. We are a republic. And you need to get that. Of course, you need to get many of our pamphlets, the truth about what happened on 9-1-1. Read what Condoleezza Rice said when she was asked why they did not do anything before the 9-11 attack when they knew it was coming. And her response was, well, we needed a catastrophic event. We needed a catastrophic event to get the American people to be willing to change their attitude towards government and government surveillance. And you have to read what she said. It comes right out of her testimony before the 9-1-1 Commission. And, of course, the fact that they had a plan to attack Afghanistan, and it was completed just the day before the 9-1-1 attack. Wasn't that interesting? That comes from Donald Rumsfeld. It's on page 61, I believe, we give you the exact page reference in Thomas Keene's book. He was the head of the 9-1-1 Commission, his book Without Precedent. That's a little pamphlet called What Really Happened on 9-1-1. Of course, you need to get our pamphlets, 9-1-1, three pamphlets together. We'll give you the background and give you the quotation from one of the highest people in the CIA who said, off the record, when the dust finally clears, the American people will understand that what happened on September 11th wasn't a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph. How could the death of 3,000 Americans be a triumph? Well, it got us into the war. Don't you understand, ladies and gentlemen? The elite wanted the war, and they wanted to send your boys overseas to be maimed and killed, or those who came home. Over a third of them have a disability within 3 months of arrival back, and they have chronic diseases because they've been used as guinea pigs. Oh, yes, they use our boys as guinea pigs. If you doubt that, you need to get the four-tape set, Vaccine A. And then you need to get the Rockefeller Committee report, a report from the Veterans Administration pointing out how they use our military as guinea pigs without their knowledge or consent. But don't feel bad. They do that for you as well. That's what the Hepatitis B vaccine program is. Every child in the nursery gets a Hepatitis B vaccine shot without any evidence it's going to do any good for them. But there is a great deal of harm. There is no more harmful vaccine on the market today than the hepatitis vaccine that we give to every child in the emergency room whose parents are stupid enough not to object. Notice the new campaign to convince us that there's no relationship between mercury and autism, between vaccines and autism. You need to get our little books by Neil Miller, one on autism, the other on vaccines. They're inexpensive, but you need to have the information. You need to get us out. They're destroying our children. They know what they're doing. Get my talk on population control. None dare call it genocide. Get my talk on planned population reduction. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our enemy is not in a cave in Pakistan. Our enemies are in Washington, D.C., men who worship a different God. And until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the American Freedom Network, now on the World Wide Web at www.americanewsnet.com.
Join the Beth Messiah congregation and celebrate Passover 2008 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Sunday, April the 20th, 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 100.